Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Zayin. We're beginning at the two dots, about 10 lines down from the top, with the words Reish Lakish. Yesterday we had a story about someone who was captured by these Ludoyin, who were in fact cannibals. And today we have a story, fascinating story about Reish Lakish. Just a little background on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a gladiator originally. He was a very strong, powerful person. He meets up with Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan Homaisa, where Rav Yochanan convinces him to become a frum Jew, and ultimately he marries Rav Yochanan's sister. And Reish Lakish is turned into the great Reish Lakish from being originally a gladiator, being originally somewhat of a robber, of a powerful person. So Reish Lakish, Zabin Nafshe Liludoi. Reish Lakish specifically sold himself to these Ludoim in order to go and teach them a lesson. As we'll see, these were very, very dangerous people. They were cannibals. And yet Reish Lakish is going to go and defeat them. So Shokal Bahadei Chaisa Vigul Golta. He took with him a sack. Chaisa, Rashi tells us, is some sort of a sack that is normally very, very light. But he put inside of it Gul Golta, which is a stone. Rashi says that this is an Igul Shel Evan O Shel Oferis Besochel. He put inside some sort of a stone or some sort of like a lead ball inside. They didn't realize, obviously, that this was a stone inside. They thought this was a empty sack. The Marsha says that this type of bag is normally a very, very light bag. Mako Kalin wouldn't be able to give you a strong zetz if you hit somebody with it. Okay, Omar. He said to himself, Gemire, the Goyim over here, these Ludoyim, they have a Mesorah, they have their tradition, the Yom Basra, on the last day of a person's life. In other words, the day that they're going to eat him. So, Kol Duboyim Minayu Avdele, that whatever that person asks for, they give him the famous Last Supper. They give him the food that he wants, right? The last meal before they kill somebody. And they do this, Kihechi Delechol Adome. They do this that he should, so to say, Rashi says, so he should forgive them for killing him. Sheimochel Adomo. They give him a very, very nice meal. They give him whatever he wants for that last item. So he'll hopefully forgive them for killing them. That was their custom. In any event, he lets himself be captured by these Ludoim, and Yom Basra, on the day that they're about to eat him, Amulei, they say to him, as their custom is, Mai Nichaloch, Nu, what would you like? What can we do to make you ultimately forgive us for killing you and eating you? So Amulei, we told him, no problem. But you know, what I would like is, Akantinchu, I want to go and tie each of you up, and Vaosvinchu, and then sit you down, Kol Chad Minaychu, and each one of you, and Chai, I'll give you a zetz with this Chaisa Upalga, with this bag that I have. The Mefarshim explained that this is this sock that he took with him, which they thought was an empty bag, would give you a zetz and a half. In other words, I give you one and a half zetzes with this seemingly empty sack that he had. And they said, fine, no problem. So continue. He tied them up, Yosvinu, and he put them down. And this apparently not all one next to each other, so they shouldn't see what's going on, but he did each one separately. So, Kol Chad Minayu, Kad Machye Chad Chaisa. Each one he gave one zetz with this sack that was filled with either this stone or this lead ball that's inside there, and he gave him a zetz, and he's extremely strong, and he killed them with his one zetz. And Nachnach Nishmase, they died with his one zetz. Now, the understanding here is that he did this privately to each one, and therefore, as a result, nobody else knew about this. So he made it sound like they were laughing at him. So Charkine Lishine, he made gnashing sounds with his teeth, and what did he do? Amalei, he said out loud, Ahuke, kol mechaikis pi, you're making fun of me? So it made it sound like his blow was nothing, and they were laughing at how weak his blow was. And therefore, akate poshloch gabi palgo de chaisen. He said, oh, you saw the half of a zetz that I have to give you. So it made it sound when he went from, I don't know if he was in a different room, it doesn't say exactly, when he went from one of them to the other, each of them heard the other conversations, and they thought, oh, this guy's a weakling, and no big deal. And therefore, nobody obviously put up any defense against him, and Katlinu Kuli was able to kill all of these Ludoim, all of these cannibals, and then Nafak Vyosa, he went home. So he solved the problem. It's a very similar story in the Yerushalmi, where there was a Rav Imi that was captured, and it was well known that anybody that was captured by those people that captured him was a dead man. So they said, prepare the burial shrouds for that great Rav, because he's going to die. And Reish Lakish said, no, I will go and free him, either they'll kill me or I'll kill them. And the Maisa ends with, of course, all of them dying, and Rav Yochanan was very involved in that story as well. And Reish Lakish was an extremely powerful and a great, great, great Amor. Okay, so he comes back to his house. Yosef ko ochel vishasi. He went back to his house. He sat down. He ate and he drank. And now, what is really going on over here, as the Mefarshim explain, is that he always ate and used up all of the money that he had every day, gave the rest away to tzedakah. He had tremendous emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take care of him the next day. And Amrale Brate, his daughter, said to him, Lo bayis midei lemizga alei, you give away all your money to tzedakah, you have nothing left. Do you like a karo kesis? Rashi says, Lishan lov, would you like a pillow or a cover to sleep with? Because you're sleeping on the floor. He says, no problem, I don't need anything. Amrale, he said to her, Biti, my daughter, Crazy curry. My stomach is my pillow. It's Rashi says, "Bitni v'shuman shebimei hu li karbikasis." My stomach and the fat inside of my stomach—that is my pillow and my cover. The Tosfos brings that over here. And Dira Masu Crazy curry says, "Darkan hayo lishkov al bitnam." They would sleep on their stomach, as the Gemara Reb Sochem brings down. In any event, he needed nothing in this world. Whatever he had, he just ate and had the minimal needs that were necessary to survive, and the rest he gave away. Kinoch Navshei, when ultimately Reish Lakish died, all he left over in his entire estate, Shavah Kaba de Marika, he left over a kav's worth of saffron, Marika saffron. And he said, Korah Navshei, he said about himself, I left over too much. And what's going to happen? And everything that I thought I had in this world is going to somebody else now. So there's no point in gathering things in this world. They're going to somebody else. He left over essentially nothing. And yet he was upset that he even left over that much without giving away to tzedakah and to do mitzvos with his possessions. The great Reish Lakish. Now we're going to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, if a person sells his field to Goyim in Eretz Yisrael, and as a result now, the understanding here would be that since he sold it to a guy, it would have a question about the Trumas and Maisos, which is a whole separate Shaila, as to whether, as we'll see in the Gemara, as to whether the ownership of land in Eretz Yisrael is mafkia, it removes it from the chiyav of Trumas and Maisos. But everybody agrees, whether you agree or not on Trumas and Maisos, that's a big machlokas, everybody agrees that the Bikurim, that has to still be brought. So to cancel this person, even if you say that it's not chayiv in Trumas and Maisos, but there still is an obligation of Bikurim. And therefore, the Girsa that we have, Rashi says this is the correct Girsa, Tosfos will have a different Girsa, we'll see in a moment, but the Girsa that we have is Lokeach, Umevi mimenu bikurim. That vav is critical. Lokeach, this person himself who sold the field to the guy in Eretz Yisrael, has to himself go and purchase from that field the bikurim. And this is because mipnei tikkun olam, which again is a pattern from all these mishnayos we have. They're all mipnei tikkun olam. So let's see Rashi first. So Rashi says Hori Garsinan that the word is supposed to be lokeach umevi bikurim. In other words, it's the same person. The person who sold the field, he himself has to go and purchase and then bring the bikurim up to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi says, this was a takana that the rabbis instituted, b'chol shana, tzorich likach min ovi kochavim, bikurei perosea, bidomim yekarim, umevim liushalayim. We cancel this person. Hey, you shouldn't have sold this field to this guy in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we're going to cancel you that those bikurim, which is an obligation to be brought, you have to go and purchase those bikurim. The guy's going to obviously sell them at a high price because he knows you want them. So you have to go purchase those bikurim from him and you have to go bring them up to the Beis HaMikdash because you shouldn't have sold that field to him. And mipnei tikkun olam, so this will prevent you from selling your fields if you know that you have to go through this whole problem. As the next Rashi tells us, shloye rog yelim kor karka be Eretz Yisrael, yod kochav. People shouldn't get accustomed. They shouldn't do selling the land and in Eretz Yisrael to a goy. V'gam imochar, and if you do go and do and sell them, so yatriach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about this. So the rabbi said, we're going to be matriach, you lachzor achareha, that you're going to have to go after this, v'luftos es the bikurim, and you're going to have to go and do this. That's our Mishnah according to Rashi. Tosos, the Dira Matzvah, Lokeach, who maybe brings down two girsas of kuntris, this is Rashi's girsa, that this is all a knas, the kansina lay to this person, lachzor v'likach mimenu, that we trouble this person who sold the field to the guy in Eretz Yisrael, that he has to go and purchase back. That's the girsa, Lokeach, umevi. But the rabbis didn't go that extra step. If you hold that the Trumas and Maisos are also a chiyuv, the rabbis didn't go that extra step and make you have to go and buy the Trumas and Maisos from that field and give them to the Kohen and the Levi. Fine. Umiyu kosh Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a different gears over here. He says, because the Gemara, we'll see this in the Gemara, so I won't really explain this in Tosfos right now. It's going to bring a raya, the Yesh Kenyan Le'ovdi Kochavim, the Bnei Tikkun Olam, in the Rai Salo. We're going to see over here that in fact, that the Goyim do own this land, and therefore, there is no obligation on a Daraisa level to do anything over here with Bikurim, Trumos, or Maestros. So therefore, skip a little bit in the Tosfos. He goes down. Rabbeinu Tam, the Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Berov Svarim Lo Garsinun Umevi Bivov. That the Girsa in most Svarim, according to Tosfos, is Lokeach Mevi. Whoever it is that goes and purchases these Bikurim from this person, not that the Kansa specifically, the guy who sold it, but whoever goes and purchases these Bikurim from this field, from this guy who now owns this field, and Kol Adam Lokeach Mimenu Mevi Bikurim. Loshna mocher, loshna acher. Anybody that goes and purchases it has to go bring them as bikurim. In any event, this is the Girsa Rabbeinu Chananel Tosa says, and also the Girsa Yerushalmi. Obviously, Rashi disagreed, and Rashi said, Hochi Garsinan, and the editors of our Gemara, they followed the Girsa of Rashi. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rabba, and we're going to have two pshatim over here, and the two sides of this machlokes Rabba and Rabbi Elazar, which parallels the machlokes that we have in Tanoim as to whether Eretz Yisrael, when it's owned by a guy, land in Eretz Yisrael, is it mafkia from the dinum of Trumas and Maisus or not? So we start off with the opinion of Rabba. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Afal pisha ain kinyan yovi kochon mi Eretz Yisrael. Even though a guy who may physically own the land, he has title to it in Eretz Yisrael, the dinim still apply that there is a din of Trumas and Maisus. Ain kinyan yovi kochon mi Eretz Yisrael lafkia midi Maiser. He doesn't have the ability to uproot the dinim of Trumas and Maisus in the land. Obviously, he's a guy. He has no chiyuv to give it. But anybody purchasing from him, that's tevel. And you have to take off Trumas and Maisus from it. And this is based on Emma, the Pasuk says, Ki li kol aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all of the land of the world, and especially of Eretz Yisrael is mine. In other words, when it's talking here about Eretz Yisrael, li kedusha aretz, that land has kedusha to it, regardless of who owns it. So whether Yid owns it or if a guy owns it, it's the less kedusha Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you can't be mafkia. The ownership by a guy isn't mafkia, isn't removing the din of Trumas and Maisus and Bikurim as well. However, but when a guy does own land in Eretz Yisrael, he does have the right to go and lachbor borboros shichin umoros. He has the right to go and dig various types of reservoirs of water or ditches. Boros is wells, holes in the ground that can store water. Shichin has various types of ditches. Boros is like caves that have roofs on the top of them. These were mostly for storage for water. Shenemar hashamayim shamayim lashem yaretz asalav neyotam. Because even though the land has kedusha to it, the guy does own it, and he's allowed to go and do with this land as he wishes to. Rashi explains in this situation that im kona ovi kochavim karkab eretz ein kinyo konui lafkia mikedusha sa. He doesn't have the ability to remove the kedusha of it. Shalot ischai b'maiser. And the Yid who goes and purchases from this guy is going to have to take over Trumas and Maisus. But he owns the land to the point that if he wishes to, he can, quote, damage the land, i.e. he can take it away from the purposes, let's say, of agriculture and go put into it boros, shichin, umaros. That's the opinion of Rabba. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says differently. Rabbi Elazar Omer, even though the guy who owns land in Eretz Yisrael does remove it, when the guy owns the land, there is no chiyuv of Trumas and Maisos. Even though he has that ability to remove the Trumas and Maisos, and this is based upon the Pasuk Shneimar, Dagon Necha, you have to take off Maiser from your Dagon, which implies it has to be Dagon Cha, Dagon Shel Yehudi, below Dagon, not the Dagon, not the grain that belongs to a guy. So even though Rabbi Elazar holds that there is no Chiyuv of Trumas and Maisos, it's been Mafkia from Midei Maisa when a guy owns the land in Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, is his ownership of the land moves the Kedusha of Trumas and Maisos, but it doesn't give him a right to go and destroy the land. The guy cannot go and dig these pits and these ditches and these caves, so to say, in the land. Shenemar Lashem Ha'aretz, because the land still belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he has the right or the ability to be mafkia from Trumas and Maisus, but he doesn't have the right to go and destroy the land. So we have two opinions over here, Rabba and Rabbi Elazar. Rabba says that the guy doesn't have the ability to be mafkia midei maaser, but he does own the land and can go and destroy it by digging boros shichin umaros. Whereas the Blood says he does own the land to remove it from Trumas and Maisus, but he doesn't have the right to go and dig the boros shichin umaros. Now, what are they arguing about? Michael Miflagi. So Mar Savar Rabbi Elazar holds that Dagon Cha, as we said, below Dagon Ovi Kochavim, and therefore it does show you from the Pasuk Dagon Cha that he does have the ability to be mafkia midei maaser. Whereas Rabba holds Umar Savar, no, I don't dash that word like you did, Dagon Cha, Dagon Shal Yisrael, Velo Dagon Shal Ovi Kochavim, Ella, I dash it since it doesn't have the dots in the Torah. It doesn't have the vowels in the Torah. So it should be digunha. It should be pronounced digunha, velo digun ovi kochabin. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, we say the word digunha, it means, in Dibra Maso digunha, shemirchon ovi kochabin, if it reaches the stage of miruach, which is it's piled up, after the field has been harvested and you pile up the grain, so at that point in time, it's now mechuyev in trumus u'maisrus. The hain shelo b'shas miruach, if the guy owns it at the time of the miruach, which is shu gemar melachton for meiser, and therefore miruach kochavim potron. If the guy owns it at the time of the miruach, so then there is no chiyuv in trumas maisus. That's what the word digun comes to teach us. Vafilu lekocha miyisrael b'shibolin. And even if the guy were to have purchased grain from a yid while it was still in its stalk, while it still was not yet piled up, it didn't have miruach. So then it's also a tour in trumas maisus. Avolim higdilu, Rashi says, b'karko b'kochavim. But if it grew in a guyish person's land in Eretz Yisrael, and the yid purchased it from Lukachin Yisrael Bishibolin while it was still in the stalk stage, and it was Umirchan Biyidei Yisrael. The yid went and did this piling it up and did this part of the post-harvesting. So then, Chayavim B'maiser, because the Karka Eretz Yisrael B'yadav Kochavim Lovka Kiddush Asa. Because, again, even though it was owned by the guy, the Miruach is the point at which the Chivah to take off the Trumas B'maiser occurs, and now it's owned by yid. And the ownership by the guy doesn't remove the, it's not mavkiyah mide maiser, just the fact that he owned it. It's who has it at the time of the miruach that will determine do you have to or do you not have to take off trumas maisers. So that's how Rabba darshans differently diguncha. He says diguncha. And that's the machlokus between Rabba and Rabba Lazar. Gemara continues and tells us to support Rabba, Amar Rabba, mina mina la, where do I know my sheet? It's not, because we learn the Mishnah Peya. Haleket v'yashichecha v'yapeya. These are various matanos aniyim that we've discussed many times. Leket is if a person's going and harvesting and he drops something. So if he drops one or two stalks, so then they belong to the guy. If he drops more than that, so he's allowed to go pick it up. So leket is one of the matnos aniyim. Vashichecha is if he forgot to go and harvest a certain area, or if he left behind certain things in a way that would make them now shichecha, which would mean that they now belong to the aniyim. It's hefker to the aniyim. The leket is hefker to the aniyim. The shichecha is hefker to the aniyim. Vapeya, pay is if you leave a corner of your field. The din min haTorah is that there is no shear for it. It can't be the entire field. It has to be more than one kernel, but it can't be the entire field. But anything less than the entire field is called you left over a corner of your field. Midr Rabbanim, we say this is 1/60. In any event, also for the aniyim, so the leket, the shichecha, vapeya, which are various types of matnos aniyim, shel ove kochavim. If the land belonged to an Ovi Kochavim, nevertheless, there's Leket Shech and Peh that he gave off, so Chayavim B'maisa, since the guy has, in fact, no ability, Rabbah says, to be mafkiyat from Trumus U'maisos, but he has no chiyav to give Leket Shech and Peh, so these are not yet called Hefker, and therefore, the Chayavim B'maisa, the poor Ani, the yid that picks up the Leket Shech and Peh of a guy, has to take off Trumus U'maisos from it. Chayavim B'maisa. Unless Elam Kain Hefker, unless the guy went and said, this is now Hefker. Oh, the guy can make something Hefker as well. So if he truly makes it Hefker, Hefker is Potem in a Meiser. But the fact that he set it aside for Lech Shechem Peya, which normally if a Yid sets aside Lech Shechem Peya and the Oni takes it, he doesn't have to give up Trumas and Meisers, but the guy doesn't have the Chiyiv to give Lech Shechem Peya, so therefore it retains its original status, which is that it's Chayiv and Trumas and Meisers, because the guy owning land in Eretz Yisrael is not Mavkiya Bim Meiser. That's Rabba's proof. Now, what exactly are we talking about in this Mishnah to fully show that this is Rabba's proof? I already explained it, but we'll see it inside now. Hechidami, what is the Mishnah talking about? Ilei, if we're talking about the Yisrael, that the field belonged to Yisrael, v'liktinu of the kochavim, and it was a guy that went and took a poor Ani, guy, came and took the Leket Shechem Peya, and then he subsequently sold it to a Yid. That's the case that the Yid has to take off Trumas Maisus, Elam Kain Hefker. So then, why are you saying that if he was Mafkirit, then there is no Trumas Maisus? If the Yid took off the Leket Shechem Peya, so then they are Potumina Trumas Maisus. So why would he have to be Mafkirit? They're already Potumina Trumas Maisus because they were Matnos Aniyim that the Yid put out there. Obviously, that can't be the case, Rabba says. Elo, the Mishnah Peya is telling us, Elo Lav, the Ove Kochavim, the land belonged to an Ove Kochavim, who's not Mechuyev in Leket Shechem Peya, and he did nevertheless leave it for the Aniyim, V'liktinu Yisrael, and the Yid went and picked up, a poor Yid went and picked up the Leket Shechem Peya of this guy, and therefore, Taimo, the Hifkir, it's only if the guy was Mavkirit, because In that situation, it would be potter for the maestros. Halo hifkir, if he's not mafkirit, just the fact that he designated to be left at shechem peah, since he's not mechuyev min haTorah, that doesn't make it hefkir, and therefore, since he's not mafkia midei maiser, chayev. So the poor yid who takes in this lek at shechem peah, the ani, has to go and take off trumas and maisers from it, because it wasn't mufkar. Ah, Rabbi says, here's my proof. This is how this Mishnah in Peah shows that the guy who owns land in every soul is not mafkia midei maiser. So the Gemara says, Lav Dafka. Lo, they argue that Rabbah's proof is not conclusive. Leolam, in fact, the Mishnah and Peah could be talking about the Yisrael, that the land belonged to Yisrael. He set aside the Lek and Shilcha and Peah, which under normal circumstances would now be Patrim and Amaiser, but that's only if it's collected by Yid. Here, it was collected by an Ani that was a Goy. He's saying that when a yid takes off the lek and shechem peah, or when a yid there is lek and shechem peah from a yid, it's automatically considered mufker. It belongs to the aniyim, and therefore there's no chiyuv b'trumas ma'aser. So why should the guy over here have? If you're telling me that the guy collected the lek and shechem peah of a yid, why would there not be a ptur from trumas ma'aser because it's hefker? No, Gemara answers: he the mafkere adai to the Yisrael, the lek and shechem peah that the yid designated in his field or that became from his field. That is only hefker for the Jewish aniyim. Nihi demavkri adaita the Yisrael. Adaita dobi kachavim imavkri. But it's not mavkri for the guy. So therefore, if the guy picks it up and subsequently sells it to a yid, it wasn't patur mitrumus and maisus. It was never really made hefker because the lekach yechah peah was supposed to be for the Jewish aniyim. And if the guy ani picked it up, fine, he can have it. But it's not hefker in that situation. And therefore, if he ultimately sells it to a yid, the yid has to take off trumus and maisus. So therefore, Rabbah's proof is not conclusive. Now we're going to try to bring a braisa, several braises in support of Rebbe Lazar. Again, Rebbe Lazar holds that the guy who owns land in every soul is mafkia midei trumus umaisus. Toshma. Yisrael shalokach sodim yovikochavim. The braisa says if a yid goes and purchases a field in Eretz Yisrael from a guy, so it depends when he purchased the grain in the field that's growing in the field. Achlo yviyoshlish. If the grain had not yet grown to a third of its maturity when it was owned by the guy, and then the yid bought it, the chazar umachulo mishaviyashlish. Now, in the yid's possession, it grew to a third of its growth, which now is the time at which there is a chiyuv of trumas ma'aser. Now, you don't take off the trumas ma'aser until you do the meruach, but if the field is owned by a yid, this braisa says, well, it's grown a third of its growth, even though the beginning of the growth was owned by a guy, but now the yid purchased it and it completed that third of its growth. That's the earliest period of maturity of this wheat. And then the yid sold it back to the guy after it was in his ownership that it had reached a third of its growth. So then, because in this situation, it was belonging to the yid, the field with the third of its growth belonged to the yid while it had reached that, attained that third of its growth. And then, therefore, shekvar nischayva, at that point in time, became chayva trumas ma'aser. So then, even if he subsequently sells it to a guy, and the guy now does the miruach, nevertheless, at that point in time, it had a chayva trumas ma'aser from the yid. Now, that implies nischayva in. It was only in this situation where the trumas ma'aser are mechuyev to be given is when the yid owned it, when it reached the third of its growth. Lo nischayva. But if it did not become owned by a yid when it reached a third of its growth, then it would not be in fact chayiv trumas ma'aser. Oh, that seems to go like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that says that the ownership by a guy of the field, in fact, is mafkia it midei ma'aser. Therefore, this seems to be a raya to Rabbi Elazar's opinion. So it says lav dafka, because you know what this braisa is talking about? Hokumai askin, and we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael. Who said it's talking about Eretz Yisrael? It's talking about Surya. Surya was what's known as kibush yochid. When David HaMelech conquered Syria, he didn't do this, so to say, with the authority of the Urim and Tumim, with the authority of the Sanhedrin. This was a private battle. He said, Klal Yisrael needs more land, Klal Yisrael needs more property, and therefore he conquered Syria. This is called Kivush Yochid, and not making it into part of Eretz Yisrael fully. So the Chachamim gave it certain status like Eretz Yisrael, certain status not like Eretz Yisrael. And because Sabar, this braisa holds, Kibush Yochid Loshmei Kibush, that this individual conquering, i.e. David HaMelech conquering Syria, is not considered if it's part of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why it doesn't have a chiyuv of trumas ma'aser. But who says that in real Eretz Yisrael that a guy is mafkia midei ma'aser? Here, in Syria, the rabbis instituted a chiyuv of trumas ma'aser, so in some ways they made it like Eretz Yisrael, but they said if a guy owns it, then it is mafkia in Syria midei ma'aser, but not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you can't bring a saraya from this braisa that In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, the guy is mafkir midir ma'isa. No, only in Syria, which only is midir banan, that is a chiv of trumas and ma'isa. So there the rabbi said that the guy can be mafkir midir trumas and ma'isa, but not in Eretz Yisrael. No raya to Rabbi Elazar. Try again. The Gemara brings another braisa from Rabbi to support Rabbi Elazar's opinion that a guy owning land in Eretz Yisrael is mafkir midir trumas and ma'isa. Toshma, we learn from the following braisa: Yisrael v'yovik ha'chav shalachu sadi b'shutvis. If a yid and a guy buy land in Eretz Yisrael in a partnership together, return to Menzayin Omud Beis. So this field will now be half owned by the yid, half owned by the guy, and now they harvest it. So the Tanakama holds Tevel v'chulin muravin zebzeh. Every grain that they have is 50% owned by the yid, 50% owned by the guy. So every grain will be half tevel and half chulin. The yid's ownership of it turns it into tevel. You have to take off trumas and ma'isis from it. Until then, it's called tevel. Whereas the guy's ownership of that, the 50% that's owned by the guy, that's chulin gomer, because you see from the Tanakama, Divrei Rebbe, who's a Tanakama, that in fact it's mafkia mi trumas and ma'isus. The guy's ownership of the land in Eretz Yisrael is mafkia from trumas and ma'isus. And Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Rebbe, but not totally. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer shel ovi kochav impotu v'shal Yisrael chayiv. He says, Rav Gamliel holds that once they separate the produce into this produce is now the yid's produce, and this produce is now the guy's produce. They have 100 bushels. They harvested 100 bushels. So the Tanakhama says, no matter what they do with it, half of it is tevel, half is chulin, even if they divide it up. So the yid is getting his 50 bushels. So according to Rabbi, the Tanakhama, so that 50 bushels that the yid has is still half chulin and half tevel. And the 50 that the guy took is half chulin and half tevel. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, once they divide it up and the yid gets 50 bushels and the guy gets 50 bushels, the 50 bushels of the yid are 100% mechoyev in trumas and ma'isus. And the 50 bushels that the guy got are 100% cholim. They're not mechoyev in trumas and ma'isus. So this is the machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, what they're arguing about, Akan lo plige, this is a riot to Rabbi Elazar, because they're not arguing about as to whether Eretz Yisrael is mafkiya midei trumas smaisus. Both of them hold that there is a chiyuv of trumas smaisus. Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel only arguing about breira. Ela demarsov, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that yes breira. So the retroactive determination over here that these 50 bushels are the yids and these 50 bushels are the guys. So retroactively, that's what the yid owns. And it's 100% chayiv in trumas ma'isus. And retroactively, these 50 bushels of what the guy owns, it's 100% chulin. There is no chayiv in trumas ma'isus because the guy's ownership of land is mafkiya midei ma'iser. And on the other hand, the Tanakhama Rebbe holds with ma'isover ain breira. He disagrees. He says there's no din of breira. There's a chayiv daraisa, and by daraisas we don't say breira, and therefore it's still considered ma'urav, even though now this is retroactively, this was clearly my 50 bushels, that's your 50 bushels, we don't care. According to Rebbe, the bushels that the yid owns are half still the guy's in terms of the chiyuv of trumas and ma'isus, of which there isn't a chiyuv of trumas and ma'isus. But the half that the guy owns that are really belonging to the yid because of ein breira, so they are mechayiv in trumas and ma'isus. But what do you see over here? Avo de kuliyama, both Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel both hold that yesh kinyan lo v'kachad b'eretz Yisrael lafkiya midei ma'isah. Both of them agree. They're arguing about breira, but both of them agree that the guy's ownership of land in Eretz Yisrael is in fact lafkiya midei trumas and ma'isus. So it's a raya to Rabbi Elazar. So again, says no, lav davka, because here too, hachanami besurya, same terms we gave in the first brisa, is over here too. This is only talking about besurya, which was only mechuyev midin derabbanan to have trumas and ma'isus, and therefore, this question of breira or not, that's a question on the din derabbanan. But in Eretz Yisrael, there would in fact be no ability for the guy to be mafkiya midei trumas and ma'isus, so this machlokas would not occur in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody would agree that there is 100% chiyuv over here. There wouldn't be any tevel v'chulin in this situation. It would all be tevel. It would all have to go and have tithes taken from it. And therefore, here too, hachanami b'surya, v'ksavar kibush ochel lo shmei kibush, and therefore that's why they're having this machlokas only in Surya, but in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody would disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and therefore they would say that the guy doesn't have the ability to be mafkiya midei ma'isah, and this Mishnah, Braisa rather, could not apply in Eretz Yisrael, only applies in Surya. Try again. Our Mishnah. Amr Chia by Rabbi and Toshma. We can bring a right to Rabbi Elazar from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Amokha Sadehu, Leovi, Kochavim, Lokeach, Umevi, Bikurim. We'll go like the Gears of Rashi, like our Gears. So the Mishnah said that if a Yid sells land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy, so he then is obligated. The rabbis went and said, you have to go and purchase that Bikurim from this guy and bring it up to Yerushalayim. Mipnei Tikkun Olam. As we pointed out, that you shouldn't go and easily sell, get regularly used to selling land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. Now, Here's the proof. Rav Chiya bar Ravin says that we hold like Rabbi Lazar. The only reason that we said you have to go buy back the Bikurim is Mipnei Tikkun Olam, in order to prevent people from selling land in Eretz Yisrael to the Goyim. So therefore, we made a takana over here to facilitate the property and rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael by the Yidden. But midaraisa on the Torah law, well, there would need no obligation. What do you see from our Mishnah that owning land in Eretz Yisrael by a Goy is mavkia midei trumas ma'isros? So again, no definite proof. Amar Vashi, Rashi says lav dafka, because this was the historical perspective on these takonos. Shtei takonos habu. There were two takonos that the rabbis instituted over here. Our Mishnah only mentions one, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, but there was a previous takona. Now, the din is Meikara Abu Maisa Midaraisa. Originally, if you sold land in Eretz Yisrael to a goy, there would not be Mavkia Midei Maisa, and the goy's produce would have to have taken from it Bikurim, Trumos, and Maisos. Because Midaraisa, the ownership of the goy in land in Eretz Yisrael, is not Mavkia Midei Trumos and Maisos. Like Rabbah, not like Rabbi Elazar. And along came the Chachamim, given the Chazu to call Mikre Umizabne. They saw people were going and purchasing from the goyim back the fruits and going and bringing it up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would be makri and bring it. They would say the psukim that we'll talk about in a few moments, what you did actually with the bikurim. So they would go and bring the bikurim and they would say the psukim, and as if it was owned fully by a yid, because it's not mavkia midei trumas ma'isos. But the rabbis saw the sabre bikdusha sayu kaimon. The people realized that the land still was holy, that the ownership by the goyim is not mafkia midei trumas ma'isos, and therefore the yidden didn't feel so bad about selling it to the goyim. They said, hey, listen, the land is still giving off trumas ma'isos, bikurim, so therefore big deal when it's owned by a yid, owned by a goy. So they weren't stopping to sell their land to the goyim, and they felt that it was okay to sell land to the goyim because we're not mafkia the kedusha. So the rabbis made takana number one. Takinu lehu, the rabbis came along and made a takana. The lo laisu, that you're not allowed to go and bring. Shev yal tase, you're not allowed to bring bikurim from the fields that are in Eretz Yisrael that are owned by a guy. Oh, this way they would be upset and not sell their field to the guy. However, after a while, kiven the chazu demand the lo sagi le mizabin. However, they still saw that people were still selling their fields to a guy. A person is poor and he has no food, so he sells his field to the guy. So therefore, the komishtakon beyond of the kochavim, and they were poor people, so they never had the ability to go buy back those fields from the goyim, and therefore the land of Eretz Yisrael was staying in the possession of the goyim. So therefore, the rabbis came along and made the takon of our mishnah hoder takinu lehu delaisu. So they reenacted the original din that in fact that the land is not mafkia b'dei trumas ma'isos, and therefore there is a chiyuv of bikurim, and therefore they cancer, they forced this person to go and buy back. That the din in the Torah doesn't say. But since the land does have a chiyuv of bikurim, so they made a knas over here to encourage, again, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, that the people would go and not want to go and be matriach every year to go buy this back at a very lofty price, so they would buy back the field eventually. And that is the desire behind this Tikkun Olam. But it was the second takana. They had a previous takana, and this Mipnei Tikkun Olam restored it to what the din is on a deraisa level in terms of the chiv of bikurim, albeit it was a knas over here, but they take it over. The person who sold the field to the guy, or like Tosos, anybody who purchased this produce from the guy would have to go bring it as bikurim. Okay, now we introduce this concept of mevi vikore. When a person brings bikurim and it's his own field in Eretz Yisrael, so everybody agrees he has to bring the bikurim and he reads certain psukim when he reaches the Beis HaMikdash and brings the bikurim to the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, Itmar, they said, Hamoches Sodeo Leperos. What happens if a person did not sell the karka itself? He just sold the rights to the fruits. So a yid sold the rights to the fruits over here to another yid. So what is the din in this situation in terms of the chiyuv of bikurin? So the person who purchased these fruits, so he the rights to these fruits, so he doesn't own the land. Nevertheless, Hamoches Sodeo Leperos, if a yid sold to another yid, the rights to the fruits. So Reuven owns the field, and he sells the rights to the fruits to Shimon. Shimon now has these fruits. Hamocha sedei leperos, and Shimon has to bring bikurim. Everybody agrees that there's a chiyuv of bikurim. Yochanan Amar, nevi vikore, that when this yid, Shimon, goes and brings the fruits, even though he doesn't own the land, he's allowed to say the psukim involved in the bikurim process, it's as if he owns the land because he owns the fruits. So Rav Yochanan Amar, maybe he brings the bikurim, everybody agrees he brings the bikurim, but he's even allowed to say to psukim that this is the fruits of the land that I own. Now, he doesn't really own the land, he owns the fruits, and this will be the crux of the Machlokas. Reish Lakish disagrees with Reb Yochanan. The famous Machlokas over here between Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish Amar, maybe, obviously he has to bring the Bikurim, however, Einu Kari, how can he say, this is my land, it's not his land, he only has the rights to the fruits. So, what's the argument over here? I've already alluded to it. Reb Yochanan Amar, maybe you Kari, because Kinyan Peros, Ke Kinyan Haguf Dami. Reb Yochanan Shita is, that the ownership of the fruit is as if he owns the land, and therefore when he says, I'm bringing the fruits of the land that I own to the Beis HaMikdash, as Bikurim, so that's technically allowed, because the ownership of the fruits is considered like he owns the land, and therefore it's not a stira for him to say the Psukim. On the other hand, Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar, maybe the Enokar, because Kinyan and Peperos, Lav Kinyan Guvdomi, hey, you don't own the land. How can you say, these are the fruits of my land that I own in Eretz Yisrael? You don't own the land. So yes, the Chiyav and the Bikurim is there. So you bring them, but you're not allowed to recite the Psukim. So this is a famous machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan holding that Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guf Dami, and Reish Lakish saying Kinyan Peros Lav Kinyan Guf Dami. Now, we have two versions of this. The first version is that it was Rav Yochanan who asked Reish Lakish the following Shaila. Eisa Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Pasuk says that you're going to bring Yo V'samachta V'chol HaTov, and you're going to bring the one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you Ulevei Secha, and to your house. Now, Melameh, this Pasuk Ulevei Secha, which seems to be an extra word, comes to teach us Sha'oda Mevi Bikurei Ishto V'korei, that if a woman brings in to the marriage certain properties as part of her dowry that are nichse melug. Nichse melug belong 100% to the woman, so the karka that she brings in is 100% hers. Rachman al-Islam, they get divorced, or if the husband dies, that's her karka. That's hers. It goes back to her. But while they're married, the husband has the right to go and have the fruits that grow of that karka. We always call this the usufruction rights, that the husband has the kinyan peros in the nichse melug. So, when the pasuk says that the husband has to go and bring the bikurim of his wife, ulu beisecha, a wife, ishto beiso, is his beisecha, so this drasha from the brisa teaches us, sha'oda mevi bikuri ishto v'korei. So Yochanan says, here you see clearly that the husband doesn't own the land, and yet the husband has to bring the bikurim because he has the kinyan peiros in it, and he's korei. Ah, asked and answered. Here's the riot. The kinyan peiros ki kinyan aguf dami. The wife owns the land, yet the husband can bring the fruits which he owns. He has the Kenyan Paris on it, and yet he can bring the Bikurim and say to Psukim, I'm right, Rav Yochanan says. What are you going to say to that, Reish Lakish? So Reish Lakish answers very simply. He says, no problem. He says, Amalei, shiny husband, that case is different. Why is that case different? Because, Dichsiv Ulevei Secha, it's extra words. As Rashi says, shiny husband, Dichsiv Ulevei Secha, Umidi Itzterich L'Rabuye, it had to specifically say this case. That, yes, you can bring your wife's Bikurim, because Ishto Kegufo, in this and only this case, it's Kinyan Peros, but since your wife owns the Kinyan Aguf, so it's one entity, husband wife are one entity. So you are, the husband part of you owns the Kinyan Peros, the wife part of you owns the Kinyan Aguf, because Ishto Kegufo, and therefore, that's why, in this case, and that's why you need a pasuk to tell me, Ulevei Secha, to teach us this din. Shmamina, Rashi continues, Kinyan Peros lav Kinyan Aguf Dami, in every other place, it's not considered Kinyan Aguf, and in every other place, in fact, the person who owns the Peros is not allowed to be maybe the Kari, he's just maybe the low Kari, like my opinion, Reish Lakish says, and therefore, this is not a riot to you, Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, can be learned just like me. Now, the second version is going to ask this in the exact opposite way, that it was Reish Lakish that brought this Brisa as a Kashan of Yochanan. Because the army, others learned that this was Eisvei Rav Yishimon Lakish, the Rav Yochanan, that this was, in fact, Reish Lakish asking Rav Yochanan. Because he says, the Brisa says, Ulevei Secha, and since that's extra, it's Melame that only in this situation, may Melame Shoda may be Kuri Ishto Vekore, because of this concept of Ishto Kigufo, and therefore, it's as if you are one entity here, so the half of you that is you is the Kinyan Peros, the half of you that is your wife, because Ishto Kigufo is the owner of the land, and that's why you need a special pasuk to tell me this, Ulevei Secha. But Shmami, no, otherwise, as Rashi had said, that if a person only has Kinyan Peros, Lav Kinyan Guf Dami. So, the Gemara now asks Reish Lakish's question, which I just said outside. It's only because it said over here, Ulevei Secha, that we know that the husband can go and bring his wife's Nichsei Melug fruits, which he owns, but he doesn't own the karka, but because of Ishlo Kigufo, because of the pasuk telling us, Levei Secha, only here, Be'almalo, not everybody else. So therefore, this is a riot in me, Reish Lakhi says, Kinyan Paris, Lav Kinyan Gufdomi, and Akash on you, Rav Yochanan. So how does Rav Yochanan answer? Amalei. So Rav Yochanan says, no, Taimo Didi, my reasoning is Nami, Mehochu Kamina. This is exact my reasoning as well. As Rashi says, Dechi Hechi, the Ashmoinon, the Hocha, Kikinin Gufdomi. So it's like here, the husband's owning the payrolls is as if he owns the karka. It's not a unique din for the husband, Ishto Kigufo. This is telling us the din across the board, that Kenyan payrolls kick Kenyan Aguftami. And therefore, who are din biyama? As Rashi says, this is the rule across the board. So Rav Yochanan says, this is exactly my proof as well. I don't understand it the way you do, that Levei Secha is only for the wife. I understand that Levei Secha comes to teach me the paradigm for everybody, that Kenyan payrolls kick Kenyan Aguftami. So this is the Machlokus, Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan. Mara says, Eisve, we have another Kasha on Rav Yochanan, who says, Kinyan Peros, Ki, Kinyan Gufdami, Hoya Baba Derech, if a Baron is going on the way towards Yerushalayim, Ubikure Ishto Yado, and he has the Bikurim of his wife's Nichse Muluk properties, taking up to Yerushalayim to bring it. And what happens? Nebuch, Rachmon, Litzlan, Vishomer, Shemesa Ishto, he understands now that his wife has died. Nebuch, he's told that his wife has died. Now, he has the Bikurim in his possession. He took the Bikurim when they were only Kinyan Peros. But now, he inherits his wife, so now he also has the Kinyan Haguf. So now, certainly, he owns both. So the Brisa says, Mevi Vikore. He's allowed to go, and in this situation, implying only in this situation, where he now has both the Kinyan Peros and the Kinyan Aguf, maybe Vikore. Implication being, only because Meisa Ishto Rachmona Litzlan. Only in that situation is he allowed in, is he allowed to go maybe Vikore. Implication being, Lo Meisa, if the wife has not passed away, Baruch Hashem, she's alive and well, so the Nichse Maluk, she owns the property, and he only owns the Peros, Lo! This Brisa certainly seems to imply, like Reish Lakish, that Kinyan and Peros Lavki Kinyan Aguf Dami. Kasha on Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Lo, who hadin the afal gablo mesa?" No, the same halach would apply even if the wife did not die. Maybe v'kori like Rav Yochanan, because kinyan peros kikinyan aguf dami. Why did he have to tell me the case that if she dies then? Umeso it's tzrichle. You need over here the din of Rachman al-Islam, if the wife passes away, that he still is allowed to be Navy Kori. If the wife doesn't pass away, he's allowed to be Navy Kori. But you might have thought that if the wife passes away, for the reasons that we'll say in a moment, that he no longer can be Navy Kori. That's why you need the Brisa to teach you that. Now, what would you have thought that she wouldn't, if the wife passes away, that you wouldn't be allowed to say Navy Kori? Because Sol Kudayit Techaminach, you might have said, Ligzor Mishum de Rabbi Yossi Berachanina, that we have to make a gzero via that the husband shouldn't be allowed to go and now be Navy Kori if the wife passes away. If the wife doesn't pass away, of course he'd be maybe Kori. But you might have thought that we have to make a gezeir over here because of the dinner of Yossi Rav Chanina that the husband should not be allowed to, in this situation, be maybe Kori. Why? What did Rav Yossi Rav Chanina say? The Amr of Yossi Rav Chanina, Bitzaron v'shigron b'yad shliach. If a person went and collected, he harvested his Bikurim, but he's not able to go up to Yerushalayim for whatever the reason, and he sends his shliach to go up to Yerushalayim and bring the Bikurim on my behalf. And then Nebuch, umeis shaliach b'derech, the shaliach is traveling on the road, gets into a car accident, and he dies. And now, what do you do with those bikurim? So maybe, then this person goes, now he goes up to Yerushalayim, he brings the bikurim that are his, the eino kori, he is no longer allowed to go and be kori. Why? Why can't, he's the owner, why can't he be kori? He just brings them, but he's not kori to psukim, because the pasuk says, shenema v'lo kachto v'hevesa, that one person has to do the lakicha, and the bringing. So, in the first situation, before the shliach died, so the shliach did the lakachta, and the shliach did the vesa, and therefore, there is no problem of him maybe vikare on behalf of the owner. Which implies, achete lakicha v'abah be'echad, that it has to be the same person that does lakicha v'abah. In the situation, Nebuch, where the shliach dies, in that situation, so then the baal now comes, but he didn't do the lakachta, he's only doing the havah, and therefore, comes along Rav Yossi Rav Chanina and tells us that in this situation, maybe the eino kore. So I might have thought that if the wife of the husband dies, it's analogous to this situation of the shaliach dying, and therefore maybe the husband should not be able to be maybe the kore, because He collected it, but it was his wife's at that point in time, and therefore, now that he owns it, you might thought that it's the different velokachta v'hevesa, and therefore, maybe we should follow Rav Yosi Rechanina's din by the shaliach dying to the same din to be by the wife dying, kamash v'lan, that we don't say that. That's the chiddush over here. This is a good break point. The Gemara is going to continue and explain more about this machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish tomorrow, but we'll stop over here. Have a wonderful day. It's Erev Shabbos when I'm giving this, so everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.